Before I begin, I want to take a moment to honor our lead pastor, Pastor Gary, and his wife, Sean. They have such a heart for this church and for this community. And what fills that heart is their calling to point people to Christ. Can we take a moment just to honor them? Yes. Before I dive deep into my message, there's one more thing I want to share. I want to highlight something special is coming up for the women in our church. Each year, our ladies, they take a trip called Captivated. And this is an incredible time. Yes, we got a couple people here. This is an incredible time of worship, teaching, and connecting. And I want you to hear this clearly because this isn't just a trip for the ladies that attend our church. This is open to anyone. So if you have someone in your life and you think they would benefit from going on Captivated, I encourage you to do that. Signups will be next weekend, and there will be an area set up right outside the cafe area. You can get more information, and you can also register there. Spots fill up fast, guys. Not as fast as Wild at Heart, but they fill up. So I might be stretching that truth a little bit. But spots do fill up fast, so I would encourage you to sign up if God is leading your heart. It's an amazing trip. We're wrapping up our Christmas at New Walk series. This week, I want to look at a moment recorded in history that happened after the birth of Jesus. And you can find it in Luke chapter 2 if you have your Bibles. You can open it up there. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. If not, it's going to be on the screen, and I'm going to start there. Every year, his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. After those days were over, they were returning. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the traveling party, they went a day's journey. Then they began to look for him amongst their relatives and their friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all of those who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Then his parents saw him, and they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me?" he asked them. "Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" Some may read this verse and think, how did that ever happen? But as a parent, if I'm being truly transparent, I could see how this moment happened. Parents, guardians, have this ever happened to you? Even for just a moment, you lost track of your child. And if you have, believe me, you're not alone because it's happened to me before. I've been there. I remember on one occasion, me and my wife were out with a group of people in the crowd, and my wife looked at me and she said, "Where are the kids?" And I looked at her, and it was one of those questions that I was kind of afraid to answer because this is a test. This is a real question. And I answered, I said, "I don't know." But then the look I got after that, I was like, okay, that was the wrong response to the question. But in all seriousness, I can only imagine what Mary and Joseph must have felt in that moment. Panic, fear, guilt. Verse 44 says they assumed Jesus was in the caravan. Verse 45 goes on to say they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they finally found him. 3 days of not knowing, 3 days of fear, 3 days of imagining the worst. You see, this is where this passage becomes real for us, because fear is something that every one of us has faced. Not the fear of losing Jesus in Jerusalem, but the fear of losing something that you love. The fear of the unknown. The fear of what if. The Bible describes two main types of fear. The first, unhealthy fear. A fear rooted in doubt and distrust of God. And healthy fear, a holy reverence, or being in awe for who God is. Let's start with the first one, unhealthy fear. I put this in your notes. Unhealthy fear grows when we forget who God is. Unhealthy fear grows when we forget who God is. This is the type of fear that Scripture repeatedly warns us about, again and again. It's the fear that causes us to pull away from God's promise, to depend on ourselves instead of Him, to imagine the worst, to rehearse those what-ifs over and over in our mind. Now, to understand this fear a little bit deeper, I want to take us back, way back, hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. We see it in Abram. This is found in Genesis 12. Before I get into that moment in Egypt, let me give you a little background on Abram, because it makes that fear moment even more surprising that it occurred with him. Abram wasn't just some random guy that God had picked out of a crowd. Abram would eventually become Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, the very people that Mary and Joseph came from. God called him, God chose him, and God spoke promises over his life. It says in Genesis that God said, "Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to protect you. Everyone who blesses you, I will bless. Everyone who comes against you, I will deal with. And through you, the whole world will be blessed." Abram heard God's voice. Abram seen God move. Abram had built altars remembering God's faithfulness. Abram had obeyed God even when he didn't know where he was going. In other words, Abram had a history with God. He had a relationship. He had promises. He had evidence of God's faithfulness in his life. But even with all of that, even with everything that God had spoken over his life, it goes on to say, a famine hits, and he goes to Egypt. And fear gets the best of him. Fear whispers, "God protected you before, but maybe not this time." So Abram lies about his wife to save himself. A man with promises, a man with a calling, a man with history with God, still found himself wrestling with fear. And here's the thing, church. If Abram, a man of faith with God's promises, could struggle with fear, then of course, you and I can also. And that's why we need to root out unhealthy fear in our life. You see, because unhealthy fear doesn't show up when God is silent, it shows up when we forget what God has already said. Unhealthy fear grows out of doubt, in God's power, in his goodness, or in his presence in our situation. It shows up as anxiety about the unknown, the what if, and the things that we can't control. Recently, I found myself in a what if moment. A moment kind of like Mary and Joseph, where the fear for my kids, their safety, had overwhelmed me. I had just gotten back from this spiritual retreat, and I was floating on like the spiritual high. My wife and I were in this season where we're teaching our kids how to drive. Some of you already know where this is going. And I remember this day, I was off of work, my wife was at work, and I was sitting in my room and I got a call from my wife, Carrie, and we were talking, and then the conversation shifted to teaching our kids to drive. And she said, "Honey, I really need your help. I really need your help taking the kids driving more. And I remember I listened to the conversation. I said, "Okay," and I hung up the phone. And at that moment, I realized something. I've been procrastinating, not because they're not ready, but because I was afraid. As I was standing alone in that room, by myself, I realized I had this fear of letting go, this fear for accidents, this fear of the world that they were growing up in, the fear for the kids that are still at home, and the fear for the ones who are already out in the world. And as I was standing there alone in my room, that fear, it kind of grabbed my heart. And I remember as I was standing there, I did the only thing that I know how to do. In a moment like that, I began to pray. I pray, God, I lead small groups and I talk about you. I preach from a stage and I preach about trusting in you. But if I'm honest, this fear that I have in this moment for my kids is strong. And right there in that room, I bowed to my knees. And I began to pray. And my prayer turned into me lamenting to God. This worry for my kids, this fear, it was buried deep in my soul. I remember thinking, Jesus, I know your gospel. I know you say come to you. And Jesus, I want to give this fear to you. I don't want it to consume me. And then as I was on my knees and I'm praying, across the room, I noticed in a bookshelf, a devotion book, that me and my wife, we had been a part of a group. So I walked over and I grabbed this book and I opened it up to that day, which was this past October 7th. And this is what it said. Entrust to me everything that concerns you. Let me free you from fear that is hiding deep inside of you. And the verse it pointed me to was in 1 Peter 5, and it reads, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. When I read that verse, it was as if God was speaking directly to my heart. It was as if God was saying, Darius, you're holding on too tight. You have to trust me. Church, in a room this size, those watching online, maybe there's someone here, maybe you're in that same place where I was at. Grabbing something because fear has convinced you that if you let go, everything will fall apart. Fear of losing someone, fear of the future, fear of failing, fear of being alone, fear of everything changing, fear of everything staying the same. But hear this. God never intended for his children to live under unhealthy fear. When we remember who God is and who we are in him, unhealthy fear loses its grip. When we remember who God is and who we are in him, unhealthy fear loses its grip. So here's what we do with fear. We don't deny it. We don't stuff it down. We don't carry it alone. We bring it into the presence of God. We release control. And we choose to trust again and again and again. Fear loses its power when we trust in God's presence. You see, Mary and Joseph didn't know where Jesus was, but he was right where he was supposed to be, in his Father's house. And that's true of our lives too. There's a song that we sing here at our church. It's called Waymaker. And it's one of my favorite worship songs, and my favorite verse in that song is when we sing, "Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working." I believe that someone needs to hear that today. Even when you don't see God working in your life, he's working. Even when you can't feel him, he's near. Even when life feels like it's spinning out of control, God is still in control. Fear says you're alone. Faith says God is here. Fear says you've lost control. Faith says God is always in control. Fear says this is the end. Faith says God is writing a bigger story in your life. The presence of God changes everything. In Psalms 23:4, it says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." In Isaiah 41, it reads, "Fear not, for I am with you." In Matthew 28:20, it tells us, "I am with you always." And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." When you trust God's presence, fear can't keep its grip. Healthy fear doesn't push you away from God. It pulls you to him. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I put this in your notes. Healthy fear draws us closer to God, not away from him. Healthy fear draws us closer to God, not away from him. In Psalms 111:10, it reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his instructions have good insight." That means that the starting point for a real wisdom, real clarity, real peace, is not found in our strength, but in recognizing who God truly is. You see, healthy fear is not a terror. It's not panic. It's not hiding from God. Speaking of terror, panic, and hiding, I want to share a story about my mother and my brother and I. My mom is probably watching like, "Here we go." Every time my boys preaches, talk about me. There was a moment where, when me and my brother were younger, my mom was going to the store and she gave us instructions like us parents and parents often do. "You need to clean the house before I get back. When I walk in this house, it better be clean." And my brother and I, we did what most kids do. We played. This was back in the 80s, and I don't think they have it now, thank goodness. But back in the 80s, we used to have those glass tables, the big ones, right? And so there was a glass table in our living room. And as I was chasing my brother, he decided to, and I hope he's listening, he decided to jump over the table and hit it with his back foot. And I remember watching the glass break, and I looked at my brother and I said, "You are in trouble." I decided to go into the other room and start doing my chore while my brother was in the living room. And I remember hearing my mom come in and the sound of discipline. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I remember hearing that sound of discipline, and there was a fear while I was waiting for her to open the door where I was at. But when we hear this verse, and oftentimes a lot of people, we think when it talks about healthy fear, that's the type of fear it's talking about with God, but it's not. It's not a fear like we're going to get in trouble if we do something wrong. It's not a fear that forces us to hide from God when we think that what we're doing in life isn't right. What it's talking about in Psalm is teaching us, healthy fear is an awe of God, right? Healthy fear is a reverence to God. Healthy fear is the awareness that God is holy, powerful, sovereign, and good. It doesn't push you away. It pulls you closer. Unhealthy fear makes you anxious. Healthy fear makes you anchored. Unhealthy fear makes you run from God. Healthy fear makes you run towards God. Unhealthy fear says, God can't handle this. Healthy fear says, God is more than enough. Healthy fear is the moment your soul says, I don't know how this will work out, but I know the God who does. It's when our heart says, I may not have control, but I trust the one who has never lost control. Hundreds of years before Jesus even walked the earth, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And we see in Isaiah 6, there's a part that says, Isaiah sees the Lord. And it goes on to say, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filled the temple, angels declaring, holy, holy, holy. And in this moment when Isaiah sees God, it goes on to say that Isaiah, he didn't run away. He bows and he says, here am I, send me. Why? Why was that his response? Because when you truly see God for who he is, you trust him more deeply and you surrender more fully. That is healthy fear. I put this in your notes. Healthy fear is not being scared of God. It's being aware of God. Healthy fear is not being scared of God. It's being aware of God. It's knowing God is bigger than my fear. God is stronger than my situation. God is faithful when I am doubtful. God is steady when life shakes me up. Healthy fear says, even if, God is still good. As we're talking about this today, I can't help but to believe that there may be someone here realizing something. You've been living in unhealthy fear. You've been living in unhealthy fear because you've been trying to live a life without God. You've been searching for peace, searching for answers, searching for purpose, searching for something that lasts, and nothing has satisfied. But hear me, everything you've been searching for is found in Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses, Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 29, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, the fear, the weight, the anxiety, the deep sin that you haven't shared with anyone, that the enemy continues to use against you over and over again to lie to you and tell you that you're not worthy. That thing that you've been carrying, Jesus came so you can be forgiven, so you can be free and loved. Maybe today is the day that you say, Jesus, I'm done running. I surrender my life. I want to trust you. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If that's you, you don't need to clean yourself up first. You don't need to have it all together. You simply need to come to Jesus. And today can be the day you find peace your heart has been searching for. I would love to lead you in a prayer wherever you're at. You can just pray a prayer like this. If we all could bow our heads. Jesus, today I give you my life. I surrender my fears, my sin, my past to you. Jesus, I understand I live in a world and they constantly tell me that the burden that I have is big, that I'm not worthy. The things that I have committed in my past are too big. I know you say in your word that your grace is larger, but I don't know this burden. I don't fully believe that you will accept me, but I know the promise that you tell in scripture. You say come to you, and that's what I'm doing in this moment. I'm laying this all at your feet. The world may talk against me, but I know you say you will embrace me, so that's what I'm doing. I'm giving my life to you. I believe that you died and you rose again for my sin. When you went to that cross, it was for me. I don't want to deal with the distractions. I just want you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If that was you today, I would encourage you to please put that on your prayer card. There's a spot, and we just want to pray with you as a church. We want to come alongside of you, because this isn't a little moment. Church, healthy fear draws us closer to God. And some of you just felt that pull. You've been searching. Today you can rest in the one who never leaves, who never fails, and never stops loving you. Mary and Joseph were terrified because they thought they had lost Jesus. But the truth was, they never lost him. He was right where he was supposed to be, doing his Father's business. Church, will you stand with me if you're able to stand? This is a moment of worship. This is a moment between you and God. Don't worry about who's beside you or who's standing behind you. Don't worry about what everyone else around you is doing. This is your one-on-one moment with your Heavenly Father. Pastor Pat said something in our staff meeting that stayed with me. He said, you can't fear and worship at the same time. You can't fear and worship at the same time. You see, I love that saying because it reminds us that worship, it shifts our focus. Worship, it lifts up our eyes. Worship reminds us that your soul, it reminds your being who is really in control. Just like I did that day in that room, we're going to do right here in this moment. We're going to give our fears over to Jesus. We're going to open up our hands. We're going to lift up our voices. We're going to turn our fear into worship. As the band begins to play the song, I want you to listen. This is more than just lyrics that we're saying. This is a moment of surrender. This is a moment that we're going to have a declaration. This is a moment that we're going to tell fear that you don't have control over my life. This is a moment that fear is going to lose grip in so many lives today. This is a moment that we're going to trust in God with all that we have and all that we are. Church, will you worship together and let's let go of the fear that the enemy is holding on us. Let's let go of fear. Let's give all God praise and all the glory. Amen.